Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. Interesting. Mm. That's why you need Robert Half. Yep. I don't think that's a person. That's the company.
Okay, I was confused.
Yeah, their specialized recruiting professionals engage with their proprietary AI. Welcome to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing, and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. See, at Robert Half, they know talent. I wish I had had Robert Half back in the day when I was hiring.
Okay.
So, no offense, Sona.
Oh, I feel like you did mean to offend me.
Yes, you wouldn't be here if I had had Robert Half. Okay. Visit RobertHalf.com today. From your morning podcast to your afternoon playlist, you know you personalize your entire day. That's why State Farm helps you personalize your insurance with the State Farm Personal Price Plan. That's a lot of bees.
Yeah.
It offers coverage options that help protect what you care about most at an affordable price just for you. That's important. You want an affordable price.
Yeah, I do want one.
Yeah, if it's too much, well, that's just not going to happen.
No.
State Farm's on it. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices vary by state. I'm lowering my voice.
I know.
Options selected by customer. Availability and eligibility may vary.
Hi, my name is Tracy Ellis Ross, and I feel delighted about being Conan O'Brien's friend.
Fall is here, hear the yell, back to school, ring the bell, brand new shoes, walking blues, climb the fence, books and pens, I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Hey there. Welcome to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. I am Conan O'Brien. I do need a friend. I think we've done a lot of these. I don't think any of them have quite stuck.
Mm.
Initially, there's some enthusiasm and then calls are placed and not returned. But I'm here with people who are contractually my friends.
That's true.
You are obligated to be my friends.
We've made friends.
Yeah, we're friends.
No, we've made friends too with some of the guests and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we're doing great.
That's right. It's funny too. They're constantly texting you guys and I'm left out in the cold.
Yeah, Harrison Ford and I are at Chipotle most days.
What does he like to get at Chipotle?
The bowl.
The bowl. I love the bowl and then get off my plane. And Sona, who have you been hanging out with of the stars that have been on the show? You text a lot.
I do. I'm a big texter.
Yeah, you're texting with a bunch of different celebrities.
I'm trying to think of someone, Hillary Clinton.
You said that.
You're
such
a bad liar. Ms. Mosesides, you know there's been a murder and you are a suspect. Can we talk to you for a second? Where were you when the murder happened? Laundromat? 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 Laundromat?
I'm asking them
Laundromat? What do you think? Laundromat?
Where was the murder victim?
It was just outside the laundromat. Okay, then not the laundromat? Terrible liar.
I am a bad liar, though, for real.
You are. Sona is one of the most honest people I've ever met.
Yeah.
She can't lie,
which
has caused major problems for us at times. Mm-hmm. Because you've told me flat out what you thought of the show or how I did on something or but it's good. I need to know the truth.
Yeah. So, I mean, Hillary Clinton and I are just like, we're tight.
What do you guys do?
Yeah.
We go to Magic Mountain.
Wow.
She
loves Magic Mountain, does she?
Loves she? She
Not
loves it.
Not what I expect.
She loves roller coasters.
Oh, good.
Really? Yeah.
She like the one that goes upside down?
Yeah. She likes that one.
She like Riddler's Revenge?
She loves Riddler's Revenge. She loves Superman. She loves Goliath. She loves...
Don't put question marks after these.
Why are you putting your finger on your lip like a Hitler mustache?
I know. I know. It's so funny.
Because I'm sweating.
You're in disguise.
Yeah. No, but we go to Six Flags all the time.
She did the podcast. Hillary Clinton did the podcast. And I got the sense that she is... a lot of fun. I got the impression that she... Yes!
You did?
No, I did. I'm not... No,
she's done it twice, right?
I don't want to, like, say anything, but I don't know, fun...
She is. No, I'm not kidding. I've heard from a lot of people that she's a lot of fun. Like, when you get away from politics and everything, that she's lots of fun, that she enjoys herself, she laughs a lot. Yeah.
I think
she likes Riddler's Revenge.
I figured she just likes going on long walks. which I feel like is a lot of people just like going on long walks.
Just long, not a hard G.
Don't do that, Conan.
Do you hear it? Do you hear it?
I hear it.
Well, yeah. You heard it too?
Well, no,
now
I'm not
I'm
judging
really
it.
Scared
I'm,
but both I of you heard
look,
it.
Look, I can't lie either. I heard your hard G.
I don't care. It is. There's a G at the end of it.
Yeah, but listen, it's like a speed bump. You just want to glide over that long.
It's
but,
light.
But then you go long and then longa.
It's
and the
July.
Car and the car goes over a little. Do you know what I mean? Longa.
Long.
Just picture driving a car. You don't want to go over that speed bump.
I don't think
long.
You understand.
Oh,
how
this
much
is like
this
the King's Speech.
Me.
Yeah.
This
how
is
do
like,
you pronounce no. this word?
Sign. Idiot. Sorry.
S-I-G-N.
Whoa.
I'm so sorry.
I'm just trying to help you. I'm just
I'm
trying to
so
get to the
sorry.
Bottom of this.
Listen.
I know. I'm just
you have
really
to give a big
riled
speech.
Up.
You have to give a big speech as the new king, and we're here to help you.
I'm sorry I called you
this is
an
a
idiot.
Miramax movie, and it's going to make
well,
it's gonna
wait,
clean
sign.
Up at the Oscars.
If you are what he said, this royal ruler, what is that called? The male royal ruler? Rural Gerald?
What are you talking
say
about?
Say this word.
Oh my God, there's so much writing on this.
King.
Really?
No, king.
King.
You're just king. You don't
king.
Have to...
There's a G at the end. What
know,
is wrong
the,
with
the
you
the English
guys?
Language has a lot of silent letters.
What made you two the boss? What
well,
made you two
I
the
am,
boss?
I actually am the
he
boss.
He is the boss. And
name,
I think the
your
Oxford
name is on
English
every...
dictionary.
It tells you how to pronounce it.
Yes,
if you look
it does.
In
it
the
does.
Library, I mean, in the dictionary.
No, if you look at dictionaries, they do tell you how to pronounce it.
It tells you the pronunciation, and the pronunciation has a G at the end.
Yeah, but I think when you use, what is it, the IPA, the International Phonetic Alphabet, would tell you that that's not a...
I'm checking a metric.
I want you guys
G.
to check I'm, that right
guess
now.
Guess what? Okay. I'm checking a metric that only I have. We are shedding listeners like crazy. We are shedding listeners like crazy. The minute we start talking about how the name of the phonetic symbol in the OED.
I think you need to you need to prove this, that you guys are saying it correctly and I'm saying it incorrectly.
I'm working on it.
Okay, yeah.
But listen, and so no, this doesn't come from a place of bullying or anything.
Yes, it does.
Well, for me, it does. But I'm saying from Matt, I think it comes from a good place.
I know. Yeah. I feel bad. I called you an
no,
idiot.
No, you shouldn't, because I feel like it seems like I'm coming down on you when that is the last thing I want to do, because you're, you know.
How did you think I was going to pronounce sign?
I was genuinely curious. I wanted to hear if you would do sagna.
Or sign.
See, now you get angry at me for calling
Cigna.
You an idiot, and you wrote the word sign, and you were like, how do you pronounce sign?
I didn't get angry with you calling me an idiot. I agree.
Okay. I don't like this.
Remember the time I wrote kick me and put it on your back and you got really mad and you said, who put this signy on me? That's funny because it's a callback. It's just,
oh,
just,
here's a, here's
just
a...
something that just happened, which means it's not a callback.
So
okay, why did chicken cross the road? It's a chicken. If you... That's a callback to it being a chicken.
Why?
Sorry.
If
I'm having
you
a little
Google
meltdown.
King pronunciation.
Yeah.
It says... There's a popular Google search that says, is the G in king silent? So it says, ring and king, ringa and kinga, in case, are nouns, while ing is a gerund, and in most cases, G is silent because it's easier to pronounce. Just try to pronounce something, and you'll see there's an effort in pronouncing G, which sounds unnecessary in
see,
a sentence.
I think that's
it
the thing is...
It doesn't say but, it shouldn't be pronounced.
But can I say something? The point that Matt makes through his very strange app is that...
Google.
An app I think he consults regularly. No, this pronunciation app. What I'm saying is I think that the point they're making is that it takes more effort. And that's what he and I are both concerned about, is that it takes effort to say, you know, something. It's an effort that you don't need. We're trying to ease your burden in life. Don't you think that's fair?
That's true. Plus, we have definitive here. This is the Cambridge Dictionary, which is from England, which is technically the King's English.
Yeah.
Here's the pronunciation.
King.
Try it again.
King.
King.
You know what? It's both. It's in between.
You know
it's
what? I have to say. I have to say, and I don't like saying this. They're closer to Sona than they are to us.
No,
yes!
I'd say it's midpoint because she's not saying G. She's saying King.
Yeah, but
no,
why is she doing
kinga.
A na? Why is she doing a? It's King.
I'm not doing
That's
kinga.
The UK pronunciation. Here's the US.
King.
You know what I wish it said on the US? It's America. We don't have a fucking king.
Get a president.
Get a president and suck it. That's what I wish it said. Oh, how do you say king in America? We don't, asshole. We say president. It's in the Constitution. Now suck it. All right. Well, I'm glad we straightened that out.
Well,
we
you didn't. Guys are lazy, so yeah. You don't pronounce all the letters.
You know what?
That's what we learned.
Shona, we just went on this fancy speaking app, and it told us, I don't know, it was in the middle. And so I think I say that I'm... I forgive you.
Oh, I was.
And I apologize.
I did not apologize, and I accept your apology.
Wait.
And you're forgiven.
Wait, I said I forgive you, and then you said I don't apologize? What does that mean?
Why are you forgiving me if I didn't apologize?
The bigger concern is that for the last three recordings, you and I have been on the same side, and I don't know what to do about this.
Oh, this is the beginning, as they say at the end of Casablanca, of a wonderful new friendship. Hmm. I don't think that's exactly right. It's not wonderful. Now fans are going to write in, it's not wonderful. I think it's beautiful. Shut up, fan. My guest today.
Such hostility. You're so hostile.
Oh, you don't have to be walking down the street on your way to buy some Starburst at Walgreens when someone's like, excuse me, but you misquoted the end of Casablanca. And then suddenly I'm in a knife fight when all I wanted was some Starbursts.
Do you have a knife?
He has a knife and I have a knife. And then you hear the West Side Story music playing.
It's Knife.
Yeah, it's Knife. Oh. My guest today starred in the hit ABC series Black-ish. Now you can see her in the new movie Cold Copy, which is in theaters and available on demand. Tracy Ellis Ross, welcome. This is your second time on the podcast.
Yeah, but now I get to be in the padded room with you.
Exactly. This is the nice room, the really good room that we hadn't built before. But I'll tell you something. You came in here and such a ray of sunshine. You're wearing, seriously, your personality. Like whenever I'm around you, I feel like I'm having really good, expensive coffee. Like my heart starts to beat faster. You know, an hour from now, I'll have to go to the bathroom.
Oh, come on.
But in a good way.
You know, my real middle name is Tracy Joy. Tracy Joy Silberstein is my name.
Really?
Yeah. And I cannot drink coffee or eat sugar. I do the sugar thing, but I had a cup of coffee once in high school, took two sips. It was in exams. We were in the gym. 30 seconds later, I was like, what is happening? What is happening? And I felt like my entire soul went up to the ceiling, slapped itself up there, Velcroed itself. And I was like, how will I do this exam? I've never had coffee since.
The thing is, you don't need it because you came in here. And first of all, you came into the studio first. I'm following you and I just hear laughter and everyone's in a good mood. Then I come in. Things quickly settle.
Yeah. Everybody agreed.
Like, okay. Yeah,
but it's out of respect.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Deference.
Gravitas. Yes. Yeah. You always have terrific energy.
Oh,
you really do.
Goodness.
Like you emanate terrific. And that was true all your life, I'm guessing.
I think so. I'm surprised it's happening now because I am not sleeping well. And so, but I seem to have, I'm glad to hear that though.
But for good reason too, you got a call.
I got the call. I got a call this
morning.
Yeah.
That you're in an Oscar-nominated film.
Yeah, I feel really jazzed about that.
American Fiction.
I feel very proud to be in this film, and we got 5 Oscar nominations today. And the men who play my brothers in the movie, Sterling K. Brown and Jeffrey Wright, both got nominated, supporting and lead actor. And you know, they say you're only as good as your scene partner.
Oh. Yes.
So it's mine.
Yeah. You elevate. Yeah. Those are your Oscars.
Those are my nominations, and yes. I feel good about it. About my work.
You should.
Yes, you should.
Have you seen the film?
I have not seen the film
it's
yet.
I
have not seen the film yet, but I've heard terrific things about
it. I'm very proud to be in this film. It's a really lovely, hilarious, and also like as an artist or anyone in the industry, like you'll be like, oh, this is good. But it's also a family comedy. At the core, it's a story about a family.
I am not in this section of show business. I don't even know if I'm in any section of show business anymore.
Like, is that the way they do it? They section it out?
Well, they did. Early on, they said, you will never be Oscar nominated. You will never be in a film.
No.
But listen, no, it's not my skill set. It's not something I'm interested in. I'm just fascinated by the whole idea of you get a call in the morning. And it's like Christmas or something, you know?
It is like Christmas. I mean, it's happened before, like when I was nominated for an Emmy and things like that. Mm-hmm. Like you turn your phone on. The best is if you cannot remember. That is the best. So it's a surprise. When you remember, it's like a nightmare. You can't sleep. You're like, it's like Christmas morning. Like when right. you, in Christmas, on Christmas, you would like wake up so early and your parents are like, go back to bed. It's dark outside. They're like, we haven't put the gifts out yet. But this was a nice surprise. I turned my phone on and I was like, what's happening? Why are there so many texts?
That's nice. Yeah, it's nice really... to kind of not know. I like to be surprised by good news. Whenever yes. I expect good news, it doesn't come.
Or
it just doesn't.
When it comes, even if it's good news, it doesn't quite match up to your imagination.
Right.
And you're like, oh, that was nice, but not what I wanted.
I like how you got really quiet there.
What do they call this? ASMR.
Yeah,
no, that's so annoying.
Yeah, but it's very, I like
it's not
this
for
now.
Me.
Really?
I like this.
I like that people.
Does it make you sleep?
No, it just calms me down. Like when people are cooking and they're chopping.
Really?
Yeah.
I like that people listening in their cars right now are leaning over to turn up the volume, taking their eye off the road.
Yeah, and it's like, no, it's not you, it's us. You're doing fine. You're driving fine. Your ears are fine. Don't go to the doctor.
Actually, go to the doctor.
Go to the doctor. And then maybe they'll call you in the morning. They'll text you and they'll just say, are you alive? And hopefully you'll answer.
Yeah. So you had, this is a good day for you.
It's a good day.
But I get the feeling you got a lot of good days. You know, things are,
things really
are humming along pretty well for you.
You know what a friend of mine said? She said, you know, you're a human having a pretty pleasurable experience. And I said, you know what? That is very true. It's a nice way to kind of frame it. It's a mixed bag. Some days have a lot of, you know, mixed things in them.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly, I can't complain. I've really liked getting older.
You like getting older.
I do like getting older.
You know what? I'm going to agree with you on that. I do, too.
It's much better. I wouldn't go back to my 20s if you paid me.
I can see why there are people who are amazing athletes and they feel sad about the loss of their athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
I got them beat because I was never a good athlete.
Yeah.
And also, I look at pictures of me when I was young and I wasn't hideous, but also I didn't stop traffic. So nothing, people weren't like, I gotta ride that horse.
Is no, nah. Pick a different phrase.
So I was waiting for some woman to say that to me, and they never did because it's not an expression.
Well, try it in ASMR though.
I gotta ride that horse.
No, it doesn't make it better.
No, she said in full voice.
I disagree.
Nope.
Yeah.
No, no one ever said I gotta break me off a chunk of Conan.
Oh God! He's now using Kit Kat commercials.
I don't know.
By the way, are we all of the age that we knew the Peppermint Patty commercials? That was the best when he went skiing, when he broke open the Peppermint Patty.
Oh, yes.
Oh, and then, yes.
Mm-hmm.
We all watched the same TV.
Yeah.
Because there were...
We did then.
Because there were three channels.
Yeah.
Now we're... I don't want young people listening like, enough already, old man. No. But there were three stations.
And you had to wake up before you went to bed.
And it snowed so much it wasn't even snow. What?
Amazing.
What does that mean?
The rain was dry. When you took a bath, it was the shower. That's what I said to someone the other day. I said, if you don't know when the 90s were, they were before.
I did have a thing where I told my kids the other day that once there were so few, there were only three channels or something, and then there was one like UHF station. There was literally nothing on, but sometimes there was a channel that you couldn't get. So the only thing that came in that we could get was a Catholic mass.
we sat there watching it
just because it came in. Just because it came in. Something you couldn't drag us to. We were like, well, maybe when he eats that wafer, something will happen.
Just sitting there in silence.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of a cool chalice. I wonder if anything's going to happen to that chalice. It's sort of like Raiders of the Lost Ark. But there was just nothing on, you know?
And then back to, you know, what happened then, you would turn on the TV and it would snow. It was snow.
Yes, just snow.
You would just get snow.
Yeah.
And you were lucky if you got lines.
Yeah.
The lines meant something might come in. There might be a show coming in.
And if you move the antenna around.
Yeah, put some tinfoil on there.
But it's funny, I contrast that now with, we all have, you know, a million options.
Yeah.
And I just sit there and I'm like,
you can't find anything.
I could watch. But I used to watch a Catholic mass that was in Providence, Rhode Island, just because it came in. And I'm saying, Godfather 2, restored, I don't think so. Citizen Kane, nah.
And then you're like, Breaking I'm Bad. Bored.
Yeah. I could watch Breaking Bad. I don't think so. I heard The Wire is really, I don't think so. Just, it's insane.
By the way, not watched The Wire back then. Mm-hmm. And I recently, during the pandemic, I watched it. My God, is that a series?
Yeah.
And then I finally got to the scene when they just say the curse word over and over that I'd heard about so many times.
Right.
And it's even better when you see it.
Yeah.
You're just like, it was such a good show.
You know what's funny is this is why I think sometimes that we're in a golden age of entertainment. Mm. People are always moaning about how life isn't as good now in one way or another, or how the world's all going downhill. And I think, I have to say, I think the good television is better than anything that
good
existed
TV.
When I was a kid. Great movies are amazing. I'm stunned at the level of entertainment. There's a lot of stuff that, okay. We get a lot of extra stuff, but the good is so good right now.
I mean, yeah. Did you see Anatomy of the Fall? Yeah.
Yes, I did.
God,
I watched that the other night.
I thought that was incredible.
With my wife, and I went in not knowing anything.
I didn't know anything either.
She said, you should watch this. And I said, don't you tell me what to do.
Oh, no.
That went well.
Yeah.
This is heading towards the plot of Anatomy of a Fall.
Yeah. But anyway, I didn't know anything about it, and I was just riveted. And then I was angry because we had agreed to meet a friend. And she started the movie, and let's say the movie's an hour and 45 minutes.
And you had to
An
stop.
Hour and 30 minutes in, she said, we have to stop and go pick up our friend. And it's before you find out what's going to happen. And I lost it. And I said, you knew. And she was like, I mistimed it a little bit. Shut up. Let's go. And but anyway, the whole time we're eating with our friend, I'm thinking about is what's going to happen.
Oh, my God.
But it still held up. It worked out when we got home.
I thought that was a riveting, fantastic movie. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting to me to watch a movie that in essence is really small, but felt so big.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so well done.
Well, it's about so much.
Oh, yeah. God, I really...
Can you watch yourself?
Are
you
absolutely.
Okay? Yes. Refreshing.
As much as possible. My God, I'm on a loop in my house. Even on the bathroom and the toilet. No. On the bathroom in the toilet, on the TV in the toilet. I don't even have a TV in the toilet. You can tell because I can't even say that.
I love that.
Yeah,
that's
I'm
fantastic.
Very comfortable watching myself.
That's great.
Like watching my work back for numerous reasons, particularly on Blackish and stuff. Being able to see how something's being shot, what's being covered, what's working, what isn't working. I'm very vain, but I'm not very critical of, particularly with acting. Like I like when my face does weird things. When I watched Candy Cane Lane, my response was, oh, great. My wig didn't look wiggy, and boy, do I make stupid facial expressions. I mean, the camera cuts to me, and I'm like, what the fuck? My face is like, I love how stupid my face is.
You know what's so funny? It feels to me like...
I just love that it does dumb things, and I'm not... Because, you know, you look at some actresses sometimes, and the camera comes back to them, and they're like... and you're like, what is that? Are you putting mascara on?
Sona, where else can you go surfing and skiing the same day, huh?
I don't know.
Or check out a world-class art museum and then camp at a dark sky sanctuary that night, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, where else can you hike through redwoods and then get a luxury spa treatment?
Where?
Well, you live there. California. California, Sona. No matter where
California.
You go across the state, you'll find a way to play. I'm a California resident, so are you. Sona, you are a lifelong California resident.
I'm a lifer. I love this place.
This is a beautiful state. Gorgeous. So many different, wonderful ecosystems in one state. You can hang out by a Palm Springs pool. You know, you can go whale watching. You can go hiking in Yosemite. And then talk about the great cities in California. You get all this amazing food, sushi, whatever you want. They got it in California. Hey, if you can't find it in California, man, you got a problem.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have done that. I made that up on my own. Anyway, I love California. Discover why California is the ultimate playground. Head to visitcalifornia.com to start planning your trip today. Sona, what would you do with $100 billion? Seriously.
Oh, I would buy a country.
Okay. I would buy just a ton of yachts and private jets, and I would duct tape them all together and then just have it go in a circle in the Pacific Ocean.
What?
Yeah. I don't know, just to be a total jerk. Anyway, there is a correct answer.
Oh.
And it's build incredible cities in fantastical locations while competing with your friends to be the biggest tycoon in the world. What do you think of that answer?
That's better than mine.
Yep, and mine, which you can do with Monopoly Go, the hit mobile game that's so much fun, it's been downloaded over 150 million times. It's the fun of classic Monopoly on the go, anytime, anywhere, endless new surprises like tons of boards and crazy mini games. You can team up with your chums on community chess and tournaments to get big money, or you can go after their fortune changing rent on your properties or even pulling a bank heist on them. So much fun. It's incredible. So start building up your billions today. Go download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store and Google Play. You know, it's incredible to have the flexibility to work in all sorts of places, whether it's taking video calls from the park or emailing large files while you're grocery shopping. Sona, this is good for you.
Is it?
Because you're always doing whatever work you do for me from fun locations.
But I like blaming it on not having reception.
I know, but you can't do that here. Working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network, which is why you should check out T-Mobile, Sona.
Okay.
Then you got no excuses. They're America's largest and fastest 5G network. With T-Mobile, you'll be covered in more places with the 5G speed you need for your life on the go. Plus, they also cover more highway miles with 5G than anybody else. Check it out if you don't believe me. Hey, Blay, you've got T-Mobile, right?
I do. I was actually just up in the woods in Idlewild. It was fantastic for the weekend, and my T-Mobile phone didn't miss it.
You know, I wouldn't think you'd need a cell phone because you speak so loudly into a microphone.
Well, I had to look some stuff up.
Just take it down.
I didn't know when brunch was.
I can hear him.
When the restaurant's open for brunch.
Okay.
So I used my T-Mobile coverage to check
terrific,
out brunch.
Blay. That's all right. Anyway, wherever you are, you know, take it from the loud-speaking Blay. If you're on the go, you want to be in the know, you want to make the show.
What?
T-Mobile.
Okay.
That's the one for you.
That was
I should
weird.
Have rhymed it with go. Anyway, find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today. Coverage not available in some areas. Fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence Data Q3 2023. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com. I wonder if having growing up with such an iconic mom in music and singer and I mean it's just and in movies, if you knew early on, oh, I can be really funny in a way that sets me apart. It's my thing. Does that make sense?
You know, in one sense, it wasn't on purpose. It wasn't a conscious sort of shift. But like when I was 22, my mom said to me, it's time for you to record an album because I sang all through growing up. And I was like, no way. Like it felt too scary. I don't know that I consciously went towards being funny, but my dad, my personality is like his. He's hilarious. And I loved Carol Burnett and Lucille Ball growing up.
Yep.
And I felt a real kinship with that kind of screwballness and the ability to kind of not care what you look like, which is, I think, because I've never done stand-up, although I really want to.
Mm-hmm.
But the ability to kind of have that freedom in your body.
Yes.
But it definitely has been my path. I mean, my name is Joy. My middle name is Joy. I wonder if it's sort of, I just came out kind of bubbly.
Right.
But I don't know. It's such an interesting thing. I think I grew up always wanting to be a woman in a sparkly dress on a stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I
me
got
me too.
Right? How's that going?
Wrist treatments. It's more expensive than I thought.
Yeah, it's like skiing.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because one of the things you said that I can relate to is I love one of the things that I've always loved about comedy is There's no vanity. Like I never think about how I'll admit there are some times lately with high def cameras and as I age where I'm like, oh my God, couldn't someone have told me that half my face rotted off before we shot that thing? But mostly, couldn't they have done some, like, taped that up a little bit before I went out there?
Or put some Vaseline on the screen,
yeah, exactly,
on the lens?
But mostly, I know that if people like what I'm doing, it's not because they want to break off a chunk of that. They're just, I'm sorry. That's a phrase that's going to stick.
Ride that horse.
I want to ride that horse and then break off a chunk.
Just no. Yeah. I'm going to have nightmares. Okay, sorry.
Well, that's what I do for women. but I like the surrendering of vanity that goes a lot with comedy.
I love it so much. And
you know, you reference Lucille Ball, and what people often forget and you don't think about it is you and Lucille Ball are very beautiful women who then do comedy really well. And so there's this thing where Lucille Ball was
so
stunning,
glamorous,
stunningly
yeah.
glamorous, but felt nothing about, oh yeah, put a prosthetic nose on and let's have it catch fire. Mm-hmm. Or let's have me crying and have my face contorted. Let's have me stuffing chocolates into my mouth as you guys recreated on the Emmys the other night. Like, this is just something that I love is the surrendering all of that. Yeah, sure. I can look amazing if I want to, but I'm doing this right now.
I think there's also for me like a sense of pure freedom where like every choice is yours. And that for me, that it's like literally from my little toe to the hairs on my head get to participate in the thing I'm doing. And I do love that there's no vanity involved. There really isn't for me. I think the uglier I look, the better I think it is. I think it's funnier when there's a selflessness to how you lean in there. That Lucy bit was, I think, I
it was
felt
you,
like,
Natasha Lyonne,
we did the
chocolate conveyor belt at the Emmys.
I do believe, I literally, before we went on stage, I was like, I mean, the little girl in me was jumping up and down. She was like so excited. And so excited. And then they forgot the prop of the papers. We had it in every rehearsal. And I was trying to explain because people were like, it was so funny. I was like, but you have to understand, if you understand comedy, if you have nowhere to go and you have to start at the top, then it's not, you can't do the thing you do because there's nothing to work from.
Right.
So it was slapstick. And we went there. It was fine. I went there. I mean, I was, I gotta tell you guys, an hour later after we took the wig off and the eyelashes, I took the smock thing off. There was a piece of chocolate. It was like it had melted, so it was from up here. I was like from between my boobs down to my like the top of my underwear, and it was just mush chocolate everywhere. And then the caramel was all that was left, so it was just like a piece of caramel on my belly button. it was fantastic. I stuffed a lot of chocolate in my gown, in my little dress. It was dropping out while I was reading the presentation.
Because it has to be, yeah. There's just a trail of chocolate following you wherever you go.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Amy Sedaris, who is also, she's a very attractive person who goes out of her way and has her whole life to tape up her nose, do anything she could, wear old ladies' clothes. She was doing this when she was a kid, and it would drive her mother crazy because her mother was saying, you're an attractive young woman. What are you doing?
My mom would always say, fix your face. Why are you making all those face? Like, what does I would be telling a story and she would like touch between my eyes and be like, I'm like, I'm trying to tell a story. Sorry, Amy Sedaris.
No, it's the same. I mean, your poor mom. My mom with me, I was constantly contorting my face and doing over the top bits. And she would say, your face is going to freeze that way. It's going to freeze. It's going to freeze. And I thought, well, first of all, that would be cool. Because I could go through life like, oh, you know, like,
that's incredible. Him, that's him.
I could work in the circus and it would just be like, I don't know, it'd be a lot of fun. I wasn't scared of my face freezing. But when I did over the top bits, there's this on this podcast, we never get to great stories. I won't allow it.
No, I'm going to say I have one, but I'm not going to tell it. You guys, I have two great fucking stories.
Yeah, there's no time. Anyway, so the other day...
I'm having this beef stew. And this beef stew.
It had beef in it, you guys.
It had beef in it.
It was
who knew? All right, go. Tell us these. But I mean, we're talking about contorting your faces.
And parents
and freaking out.
Mom's responses. So one was, my grandmother used to say that it was Tracy had the 12-year-old, the 10-year-old giggles, the 11-year-old. And then it was just like, okay, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, I'm getting out of my body. I couldn't get it out. I was like, it's dinner time. And it would drive my sister crazy. Rhonda was like, oh my God. And my mom was like, Tracy, would you like to go outside and get the giggles out? And I would be like, I would. I would like to go outside and get the giggles out. So I would go out of the door, the sliding glass door outside dinner. My family's in there just eating dinner. And I'm out like bouncing outside the door. And I'm like, na, 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 na. And I'd come back in and I'd be like, she'd be like, did you get them out? I'd be like, I don't know. No, I think there's more. And I'd go back out, go back. So that's one story. And
the poor mom.
Poor mom, trying to do her best. Little Dinah Ross sitting there like, oh my God, I made a problem child. So then the other is, when I moved out here to LA, my mom is Dinah Ross, just for reference on this story. I take full responsibility for her career. Anyway.
You made her.
I did. If it weren't for me, I don't know, those Supremes. Ain't no mountain high enough. What? The boss? Who knew? No one. None of it. Central Park concert? That was my idea.
That was your idea.
Anyway, so when I moved out here to LA, I had my version of no money. So I'm just going to be honest. My version of no money was like I had my mom's credit card. I was living in a beautiful apartment, but I had no cash. Okay. So I used to do things that I could do with the credit card. Like I would go, I would ask people if they wanted me to get them gas, or like at dinner, I'd be like, I'll pay. Give me the cash. Like I was like an ATM, right?
Yep.
So I made a video, a DVD. At the time, it was a VHS video of me doing all my characters, because I used to tell stories as these different people. So I dressed up in all these different, there was Madame Iver, who I still do. There was Susie Sushi. There was Broadway Girl, who was singing an improv Christmas holiday song. all this stuff. And then I, old school, edited it together. And I sent out 52 videos to everyone in my world saying happy holidays. And at the end of it, it said no judgment, happy holidays. And it was me like doing a ridiculous, it was insane. Mm-hmm. I go home for Christmas and my mom's like, can we talk? And I was like, yeah, what's up? Let's go to my room. Oh, shit. You know, if your mom wants to bring you to the room. So we sit down on the edge, on the side of her bed. She's sitting next to me. She was like, how many of those? She was so serious. How many of those videos did you send out? I said, 52. And she was like, can we get them back? I was like, what? No. I think she literally was like, this is a comment on my parenting. Like, I failed my child. And she has sent out like a calling card of like the failed parenting.
Oh my God.
She later understood, but I do think it was a little bit like, what have I done?
Like it's going to end up on Inside Edition of what is Diana Ross doing to her
children? Her children. Yes. Like the
Forced
other ones
her
are
to
fine.
Do 35 characters.
Try dancing for her wares. Like, I don't know.
Unbelievable.
What. Anyway, it did. It changed my career. It launched me into, you know, people are like, oh, is that who you are? but yeah.
Is it true that you have, because you do all these characters, that you have photographs of them?
Yeah.
Do you have photographs of your other personas? Like framed?
Yes. And by the way, I'm in a temporary place right now, and as you walk in, it's lined up. It's like the wall of Tracy, like all the versions of me. There's Madame Iver is a really special one that I have performed as, done things as. Mm. I used to post her videos all the time. And then Calliope Champignon has her own page. She is a fashion architect, not a stylist. She's not French, but she only speaks with a French accent, but she can't speak French at all.
No knowledge of French, the French
she's
language.
She's actually from Detroit, but... But she does.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. But she is very connected to the French accent.
I
treat. Which part made you laugh hard? My mother?
No, the Detroit part.
Yeah.
She's from Detroit. Detroit, but that's a thick French accent.
Poor thing.
I'm curious about something, because you did
your first big success, which is Girlfriends, right? You're doing that mm-hmm. show, mm-hmm. and then that show ends. And I always thought, right, you went right into Black-ish.
No, God, no.
And that's how other people can experience your career. Yeah. Like, when I think about you, I think of just, since the first time I heard your name, you've been a success. But there was but seriously, that's how it can feel to other people. Yeah. And there was like a 6-year gap or something between Girlfriend and Black and Black-ish. Because when I'm around you, it just seems so obvious that there should be a camera on you all the time. What do you think happened in that?
I agree.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I think some of it, you know, is the segregation of Hollywood and UPN then turned into CW, and we were on what is considered a Black show. So there were so many people who knew our show and we were a huge success, but there were also the majority of the industry did not.
Got it.
And so I really did think after being on a show that I considered a hit that was so beloved for 8 years as the lead that the pearly gates of Hollywood were going to open when it finished. Mm-hmm. They did not. They were locked. There were no scripts. There was nothing. And that's actually when I started moving my characters more to the forefront and doing the other things that I do. And then I did a show on BET called Read Between the Lines. Mm-hmm. Did that for, I want to say, a year and a half. But even before Girlfriends, so Lyricist Lounge came first, which was a hip-hop sketch comedy show. It was fantastic. Really fun. Did a lot of characters on there. But preceding that were years and years of auditioning, being dropped from the Gersh agency. The woman, the agent said to me, she said, "You just don't pop." She said, "You come with all these things, these bells and whistles. You're pretty, your mom's famous, you have good style, but then you get in the room and nothing happens. So we're going to drop you." Oof. I mean, I carried that punch for so long. I was like, "Oh, a person who doesn't pop. I'm a non-popping person." like you need to pop as an actor. You gotta pop. I couldn't pop.
Isn't it crazy though how when time goes by and then you look at those statements, it's so appallingly wrong. And it's making me think of, we had Harrison Ford was sitting in the chair you're in, and he was talking about how, you know, he's had Harrison Ford success, just insane. But he remembers the guy's name who told him the 1960s. Oh. And he remembered exactly what he told him.
Jerry Tarkovsky.
And he kept saying his name over and over again. But it was still a burning coal lodged right under his sternum.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, wouldn't like at least 2 of the Indiana Jones movies have gotten rid of that burning hatred? Forget the other 2. Like, no. And what I know, just because it's human nature, is those things still burn even years later.
Yeah. I remember there's a couple, we all have them. I think my mom has one. Like, everybody's got them. And they, you know, to a certain extent, they become your fuel and mm-hmm. they help you answer questions or they take you down. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I've transcended. I think I pop. I hope I pop. I want to pop.
I love that you.
You pop.
I love that you're.
You were one of the first like late night shows that I went on. But I remember when I was on Girlfriends, I could not get on a late night show. Hmm. And I remember the Tonight Show. It was Jay Leno at the time. And the talent booker, I will never forget what she said, because I asked, I was like, "You have to tell me. I don't understand. You have to tell me." And they kept saying, "Call us when she gets something." And I was like, "But like what? Like, you guys got to tell me what I got to go get, because like, I don't get it."
Yeah.
You know, but those are the kinds of things that they become this mystery that you.
There's a very frustrating thing. I got out here and remember there was this catch-22 of, well, you can't get a job. Mm. You can't get a job as a writer unless you have an agent, and no agent wants to see you unless you have a job.
It's insane.
And you can't get a job if you're not in the union, but the union won't let you in the union unless you have a job.
Yes.
And so I remember thinking, this is impossible. And there are these things that you encounter early on. And, you know, I'm saying this as a white male. I had I'll be open. I had about as greased a track as anyone can have at that time.
Still.
But now I'm old. But I remembered thinking, this is tricky and I didn't have a fraction of the difficulties that you're talking about.
Yeah, it's
where you're saying, I've been on a show, but it's considered a black show and the rest of the industry doesn't seem to recognize
that. Yeah, it was the realization of some of those things were fascinating. I remember on Black-ish, I went to do my first looping session, my first ADR session, and the sound guy, they had said, you know, he's a very famous sound guy. He just done all the shows. He's big at all the studios and da, da, da. And he was like, it's like you're like a seasoned vet. I just loved seeing such a newcomer look like you're so experienced. I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, I mean, you've never been on a show. And I said, no. I was on a show. Well, I mean, it wasn't a comedy. And I was like, no, it was a comedy, but it wasn't prime time. I said, no, it was prime time. He went through the whole list. Right. He's like, but you weren't the lead. I was like,
he's wrong about every single
thing.
My
God, is this a comedy routine? Are you a plant?
But you're not a woman. Yes, I am a woman.
Well, your name's not Tracy, but it is. And he said, my God, I've got to go look up this show. I was like, yeah, you should just go look it up.
Maybe
oh my
you should
God.
Shut up.
I was like, so... my God. It's a fascinating, the industry is, you know, it is, but it is also interesting to think of how it's changed. I mean, you know, growing up and having three networks or whatever it was, and then all of a sudden you get a new one, there was UPN, and you know what I mean? And now it's just, I don't even know where to go to find things. I have to Google the name of the show that someone told me. So, and where do you stream it? I write. And then sometimes it still doesn't give me good answers. It gives me all these things. And I'm like, I don't know what to do here.
I will often figure out where it is, the thing I want to see. And then I will go to that streamer that I know that we are signed up for.
Yes.
But it will say, no, I'm not letting you in unless you give me the 75 different passcodes. And my wife knows those and I don't. And often I crumple to my knees and a camera lifts up to the ceiling and I go, no! Like, God himself has betrayed me. And it's just like, no,
oh my God.
I mean, fairly.
Just text your wife.
No, she doesn't allow that. She doesn't allow that anymore.
I just I take the remote and I'm like,
yeah.
I just get so angry. I'm like, I just want to watch a show. Like, but you can't get in.
Yeah. And I know they already have my money. They already have my money.
Or
I signed
It says, you don't have that version of, I'm like, what do you mean? I swear to God, I paid the version. I did it last time. I can't. Where's the show? I hate it.
I love knowing that nobody escapes this.
It's
meaning
insane.
The thing that I love is nobody escapes it. And I remembered once talking to President Obama on this podcast, and he was, I don't know if it was even off mic, but he started talking about how he remembered being in the Oval Office and like they couldn't get the phone to work and like two people came in and like, you're in the Oval Office.
He had to get on customer service with Spectrum Internet himself and stay online.
Barack.
It's CK, yeah. Not just a K.
Just CK. CK.
Representative. Oh. Representative.
Pressed one. Yeah. Yes.
Are you a sitting president? Press one. They even have a whole president section.
That's a great bit.
Are you a two-term or one-term president?
Oh
Jesus.
And then you try and have someone else do it. I'm so sorry. We'll have to speak to the actual person who paid the bill.
No, it's so funny because it made me happy. And then when I talked to Biden recently and he invited me into the Oval Office, all I could do was stare at the phone. And guess what? It looks like a phone anywhere.
But what
it's
if
just
Biden,
a
of all people, was super tech savvy? Yeah. Where he's just like... I got it all on a universal remote. I programmed it myself. It's all on an app. I check it out.
He's like, I control it from my phone.
Yeah. No. I made an app. You made an app?
Are you familiar with Oculus Rift?
It'd be great if he was the most tech-savvy president of all time.
That's great. I wish that were so. I really do.
Hey, you know, 99.9% chance it isn't, but you never know.
You never know.
But no,
that open.
You're talking about that feeling of, through all these years where you're saying, hey, I'm Tracy Ellis Ross. I know I'm really good.
Mm.
And then there's that moment. Well, hold on. Maybe you weren't saying that. I was going around saying, hey, I'm Tracy Ellis Ross. I'm really good. And people would say, I think you're mentally ill. And there's some gender confusion. But no, I could see there are years where you think you have something to offer, and it seems like that part takes forever. But then
you look back.
Then you look back later on, and it all kind of happened the way maybe it was going to happen. I don't know. Maybe that's too nice a view of it.
I don't know. I mean, the thing that I find fascinating is how long it felt while it was happening, and when you look back, how fast it was. Because, you know, when you're 51, you know, like, I remember as a kid that 3 months for summer break seemed like an eternity.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It was like 3 months? Like, what am I going to do for 3 months? And then there was like no plan, and it was like horrible. And now like 3 months is such a short amount of time.
Right.
And so there's a sense of that. Like even during the pandemic, it felt like an eternity. And I do think I didn't walk around thinking, what did you say that I was good? What was it? Tracy Ellis Ross and I'm good.
You must have known that you had something really good to offer, no?
I hoped I did. Huh. And I think it took me a long time to realize that I did. I knew I was something, but I didn't know what I had to, you know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, you have to have a certain amount of confidence to lean into this business. But I think a lot of the things and the roadblocks that I hit gave me enough doubt that it was like, Am I nuts here? And then now, you know, you look back. I don't know. I mean, it's such an interesting thing because I don't know that I believe it every day now.
Right.
You know, I know who I am as a person. I know who, like, I'm like my worth as a human being. But I think that's why, like, even doing that Lucy sketch was like, I hadn't acted since I finished Candy Cane Lane last March. So almost a year, strikes, all these things. And I hadn't done that thing. And I have a beauty company, a beauty brand that's doing incredibly well. Mm-hmm. I've been a businesswoman for the last year. I do speaking engagements, and that's a big way that I pay for other parts of who I am. And I hadn't done that thing. And I got off that stage and I was like, oh, God, I love this so much. And I went to the Governor's Awards this year,
right.
And Mel Brooks was being honored. Mm-hmm. And they showed his reel with like Gene Wilder and Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick, like got up there and did Broadway singing thing. And I'm like, this is like the stuff like lights me up. Like I get like a kid that's just like, oh my God, is that a star? Like, and so it's definitely, it's something in me that I love. It lights me up. Whether I was good at it or not, I didn't totally know. And I don't know that I have any interest in investing in whether I'm that good at it or not, as long as I'm happy doing it.
I think there has to be doubt. I just always think there has to be.
I would prefer to be a person with a little doubt than
there
a person who has too much confidence. Some people I'm like, but what are you? You're wrong.
Yeah. But also when I watch television and I see most talking heads, they're 100% sure about everything they're saying.
Fascinating.
Most politicians are 100% sure what they're saying. And I think, can't we get back to having respect for people who say, huh, it's difficult. This is,
yeah.
I never think things are a sure thing. Anything I'm connected with, I'm always worried. I hope it goes well.
Don't you think that leans you towards doing your best and continuing
try hard,
to try?
Question
and,
it.
And also, I do think that the death of a career is when you think you know everything.
Yeah.
You know, when you think, like when you're not teachable, I don't know, the death of a human experience, like to stay curious and teachable is kind of the thing that keeps you growing, keeps you moving, keeps you connected to other people, keeps you being one among many and not just this singular thing.
Right.
I don't know.
I'm curious if, because you mentioned the beauty brand, which I know is a huge success, and the name of it is?
Pattern Beauty.
Pattern Beauty.
We're a hair care brand right
okay.
now. Okay. Yeah.
Is there anything?
For you.
For me. Because, and also, I'm curious. No, hold on. I'm going somewhere.
I'm not stopping you. I'm just really curious.
I know about your brand. It just makes it even funnier.
I just wondering, I have iconic hair.
You do have iconic hair.
And maybe.
There are products for you. You can use our Stronghold gel.
Yes.
Okay,
and
sorry.
Maybe you would want to put my face on the box. Ooh. This is a. You okay, Sona? You all right? You're drinking a lot of water over there.
No. You should keep talking.
Well, I'm just saying it's something that I would offer up. And now you're having water.
Bring me a piece of that Conan bar.
Why is everyone having so much water? Eduardo doesn't seem to have any water. That's good. I'm just offering that up.
We are a brand that exceeds the needs of the curly, coily, and tight textured community or anyone that needs hydration in their hair. Mm-hmm. But our content is centered around the celebration of Black beauty. And I don't think you check that box.
I think you are. I don't feel seen at this moment.
I don't see you right now.
Because you are invisible. I'm saying we've got to break this barrier. I've got to be part of, don't you think?
No. Change.
No, there's so many things you can be part of. That's how you can use the products.
Yeah. Why aren't you pursuing Irish Spring or something, you know?
I went to them. They're okay. Not interested either.
Really?
The Irish won't claim me.
The Irish won't claim me.
Yeah, just no one wants
me. Does that still exist? That smelled so fresh.
No, it did.
It really did.
It was a top line soap.
Yeah. It's still around.
By the way, this is a question I love asking people. Mm-hmm. Bar or liquid soap?
I like bar. Well, I use both. It depends on what's there, but I like a bar.
Okay.
Liquid.
I'm bar, but my wife buys liquid, so
yep,
I
me
just,
too. Yeah.
Okay.
What are you?
Liquid.
Okay.
Yeah. When I discovered liquid, I was like, oh my God, what is this bar for?
That's true.
I was like, what is this? I have another question. I'm really dying to know. I want to know what time everyone wakes up in the morning.
Oh. Well, this morning, my dog Loki woke me up at 6 a.m. I don't know why, but woke me, insisted.
Loki didn't need to go to the bathroom?
Well, he went outside, but then he loitered and smoked a cigarette. Like he.
His name is Loki.
Yeah, really. You're kind of asking for it. He didn't look.
It's
like my kids came up with that name because they said it's the god of mischief.
Yes, and, it is.
And so, and sure enough, he like grew into his name or they saw that in him. But yeah, he woke me up at 6 a.m. Usually if I can get to 7, that's like perfect for me.
And were you always an early riser or is it just since you've become a grown up?
No, I think left to my own devices as a young man, I would really sleep in. But yeah. I think that's a young man's game. And then I think I don't really do that anymore. What about you? What time do you get
up? Well, I have a 2-year-old. So even if she doesn't, I'm up at 5 or 5:30.
You're 5 or 5:30.
I'm set. Yeah, I'm baked in. Yeah.
Same thing?
Yeah. I have a toddler. Two toddlers.
Why did you say
thing.
One?
I don't know.
That is so weird.
Yeah, why do you hate Mikey? Who knows? Why do you have to think it's Mikey?
Because we know it's Mikey.
Oh, no. I love them. I have twins. And they're 2.5. And so, yeah, anywhere between 5:30.
So you don't sleep anymore?
I don't. No, I really don't.
That's so fun. Maybe when they're 15.
No, God. Is it that long?
Might be.
3 months goes by like this, so don't worry about it.
No, I know. I'm not an early riser, but I am.
What about you?
I'm somewhere between 6:30 and 8. 6:30 and 7:30, I would say.
Must be.
Okay.
But I always used to be an early riser. Like, I was a person who did my homework in the morning. I would wake up at like 5:30. When in school, I don't know why. I think I was so tired when I got home. I would just kind of conk out. But I think it's such an interesting question. I'm so intrigued with what time people wake up in the morning. Mm-hmm. People's like morning routine is fascinating to me.
The first big Hollywood party I ever went to, and it was like, I don't know, it was a ridiculous Hollywood party and everybody was there. And I'm just wondering.
Give us a couple names.
Well, I'm going to. Yeah. Okay, just, but I mean, you know, Tom Cruise is there.
Not familiar.
Like Barbara Streisand, like all these big names are there. And I'm wandering through the hallway and all of a sudden, I swear to God, Warren Beatty steps out. He like slid into view and went, Conan, how much sleep do you need a night?
What?
Out of nowhere. What? I had never met him before.
That is fascinating.
He just slid in as if he was on a rail, like just like, and cue Warren, and they slid him in. And he went, Conan, looking impeccable, how much sleep do you need a night? And I said, I need at least 8. And he was like, I need 9 to 10. And then he like slid out again. So it's like, it was like a carnival ride. It was like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride where I'm going through in a little cart. And then the Warren Beatty comes in, asks me the question. I reply and he said, I need 9 to 10 and then slides out again. And my little cart kept moving.
Oh, that God. Is a really a great story.
That's what happened. That's a true story. I need 9 to 10 and he slid out.
Also, how do you, what?
How do you get 9 to 10?
There's a reason he looks that good. I mean, it's genetics, but also he think he was, I think he was just sleeping when you didn't see him on camera. He was just sleeping.
Like, action, cut, I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
That's fat. 9 to 10 is just neat.
I can't imagine.
I don't think my body could, it would just be like, no, I must wake up.
No, I could.
You could sleep
9 to 10? I could sleep, yeah.
But like on a regular basis? Or just like to catch up.
If I have help, like if I take an edible, absolutely. I can easily sleep.
She has an alarm that wakes her up every hour and she takes 3 edibles.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's a true story.
Every hour.
She said,
yep,
oh,
terrible.
Okay.
Terrible addict. Anyway, I want to make sure I get the word out too on cold copy.
That's where you went.
Yeah.
Come on.
Terrible addiction. Anyway,
we're worried about her.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is terrible.
Yeah, mother to twins.
Now you're gonna plug. Terrible
you're addiction.
Gonna do a plug.
Well, I want to make sure we get the word out on cold copy.
Okay.
Because this is out now. Cold copy is out now.
It is. Cold copy is out now. I play a cutthroat, high end journalist.
And you're in like a death grip battle with another journalist. Yes.
Yeah, well, she's my protege, played by Belle Powley.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't think I smile once in the movie. I've got a serious bang. A lot of bangs on the face.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really fun. I smirk in the movie when I successfully manipulate.
It's fun to play mean. It's fun to be cutthroat. It's fun to let that dog out to play.
It was so fun. And so going for just I since Blackish, I've had like a real opportunity to play some fun, different things. But this was particularly juicy. Yeah. Cold copy is in theaters.
Well, there's a lot to congratulate you on here, and I can't even list it all.
Well,
but your day starts with being in an Oscar-nominated film.
Yeah,
and and I will say this, having had you on the show a couple of times, and you've been on our show twice, I love it. I love it when I get to be around you because you have so much energy and like good, like
you pop.
Yeah, you pop. You pop. Yeah. You pop. I was looking for the word, and I was going to go with pop, and then I thought, well, no, we've been told by the Gersh Agency you don't pop.
They're
Lindsay
wrong.
Lindsay Porter.
Oh, yes!
Put her on the board.
Put her
Jared
on the board.
Jerzykowski and Lindsay Porter. We're coming for you.
We're coming for you.
Add that to Jerry Tukovsky.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I am so happy for you, and you deserve all good things.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here and making time for us.
It's my God, it's my pleasure. I enjoy sitting with you all the time. So much fun because I'm delighted about being your friend.
There you go. See, what did I tell you?
Bookended.
Mm-hmm. Bookended. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Nothing brings the family together like a large two-topping pizza. It's the perfect way to celebrate any occasion. This happens all the time at my house.
Yeah.
I say, kids, let's get together. Your father wants to tell you stories of his childhood. Nobody comes running, all right? But guess what? When I get one of those two large two-topping pizzas at Domino's, suddenly everybody wants to hear from Daddy. At Domino's, you can carry out large two-topping pizzas for just $6.99 for this week only. No limit on number of pizzas. You know, what toppings do you like? I like pepperoni.
I like pepperoni. I like olive. I like bell pepper. I like mushrooms. I know you don't like mushrooms. I like mushrooms.
Yeah. Well, you didn't have to out me as a no mushroom guy, but okay. Domino's Pizza. That's the way to get the whole family together. And this is a great deal. Visit Domino's.com or use the app to order your large two-topping pizzas for $6.99 each. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 4/22 through 4/28. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary. Okay, you freaks, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, multiple systems, and delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Right,
yeah,
guys?
That's what I think about all the time.
That's all I think about. I'm a real whiz. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. It just does.
Yeah.
Words.
So to reduce, what's that?
Words.
Yeah, exactly. That helped. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. You knew where I was going with this, right?
Yeah, I do. Please tell us what NetSuite is.
I shall. NetSuite's the number one cloud financial system. It brings accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one, count them, one platform and one source of truth.
Yeah.
By bringing all your major business processes into one platform, you will not only improve efficiency, you'll also cut costs. Yep. NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessible from anywhere. That's why they call it the cloud. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. If you're not doing it, you should too. Hey, so do the math. That sounds aggressive. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Wow. Head to netsuite.com/Conan. netsuite.com/Conan. One more time if you weren't listening. netsuite.com/Conan.
Sona,
yeah.
I believe you have the mic. Oh,
okay. I already talked to you about this because I made you pay me back in some way. Mm-hmm. But I made a hair appointment 4 months ago that was just barely going to be getting me in time today for our recording session.
Right.
And then I find out you want to record earlier, so I have to cancel my appointment and then I pay the full price for the appointment. And then...
Say how much that is.
I'm not going to do that.
I will. No. $300.
No, don't do it. I don't want people thinking I'm bougie.
Hold it.
It was at Supercuts. It was $45.
Supercuts?
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if Supercuts is still around, but
so it wasn't Supercuts. Hold on a second. No. I'm going to try and I'm going to dish out some reality here, but
come on.
You keep going.
Well, what I'm saying, so I got not upset, but I was frustrated. So then we went and ate just now, and I'm not even that hungry, but I ordered a sandwich, and I ordered almost every pastry they have because I knew Conan was paying.
Yeah, you loaded up.
Yeah, I got a banana.
Yeah, and you ordered a Porsche Boxster while you're at the counter.
It's so much more than the
being delivered in an hour. Yeah. Okay, here's the chain. I was up really early this morning dealing with some stuff and very early. And then I realized we're not starting till 1 in the afternoon. I can go earlier. And I thought I can go earlier if it's okay with the gang and if it works for them, meaning sometimes because you guys have little kids, I think maybe you're going to, if you can get in and out faster, it's better for you. So here's what I write. This is my text to Adam Sachs. But by the way, I'm happy to go earlier today at noon if that helps anyone, period. Or not, comma, whatever works.
Oh, that does
works.
Change things
that
a bit.
Does.
Then I hear from Adam. Is that your preference? I'll send an email if so.
Why'd you make Adam's voice like that?
Because he's just like, you can tell he's craving.
It's not a direct imitation, but it does capture
now
the
listen
essence.
To this. And then I said, feels like it might be good to get going, but I'm only putting this out there if it works well for Matt and Sona.
Okay, that's...
And I look at this.
That's
one is also fine. That is my text. And then it says everyone is good to go at noon. Now, this is a phenomenon that I'm familiar with where I say, it might be nice if people want some tea, I could have tea brought in. Is that what you want, Conan? My point is there's this game of telephone that happens. And I have a really good example of it, which is when I first got the late night job. You know me, I am a pathologically chatty person who likes to get to know people, say hi. And I noticed that none of the interns would look at me. And I thought, oh, they must really hate my comedy. They must really despise me. And then I found out after like 2 years that it was a holdover from the previous late night regime. You're not supposed to look at the host.
Oh, right.
And it was this game of telephone, like, don't you look at Conan. I think that based on my texts, these charges are outrageous. Yes. Go ahead.
So I have a rebuttal.
The distinguished gentlewoman from Altadena.
Yes, Matt could make it. And what I was thinking, I was like, I know that if I tell everyone we have to start at 1 because I have a hair appointment, I will not hear the end of it from you.
No, you That's misunderstand.
No. Conan?
No. First of all, Conan,
today Sesame Street's brought to you by the number 2.
Conan, you would.
No. First of all, I have an interest in you getting your hair worked on.
Wow.
Worked on?
Well, I'm just saying it is.
Why?
It's a mess sometimes.
I didn't have any product in today because I thought I was getting my hair done.
Well, I'm saying sometimes you come in and I feel like if I shook you, office supplies would fall out.
Oh,
and,
no.
But I mean, she...
You're not helping your case.
Well, what I'm saying
I need more pastries.
Listen.
Shake your hair.
I would have been...
you asshole.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm on your side. I'm on your side.
If she sneezes, three crullers are going to fall out. Sona.
Come on.
I would have said, fine, please get the hair taken care of. Get that shit taken care of. That's what I would have said. You know what I mean?
No, you wouldn't have.
Yes.
You would have been like, oh, she needs to get her hair done. Okay, it's okay.
No.
And then
here's
you would have made me hear
here's
about
the
it for like 2 months.
Here's the analogy, Sona. What That's if you true. Heard, like Sona said, you know what? It would be good for me if I could go at noon. And I said, I can do that. I'll just cancel my appointment with my psychopharmacologist. And that's okay, because he was going to up my Prozac. You'd say, no, go get the Prozac.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying you got to get that hair taken care of.
Could it be that all this rivalry and all our contention on this podcast is actually the fault of these middlemen that
yes.
are handling these communications?
No.
Oh, definitely.
It's his fault.
No.
It's because I knew the bits were going to come.
Say, and this is not your fault. I'm not victim blaming here. But why didn't you just say, I can't do it?
Yeah.
Because I don't want him to make fun of
I
me,
see,
Matt.
But,
no,
but
look,
I understand.
But
that's
listen,
a real
look at your smile.
I know.
You
I
did.
Know.
I'm
I
smiling because you think this stopped me making fun of you. I just switched to the other position.
And we started this segment to grill him, and now it's turned to where he's making
no,
fun
I,
of you.
I all I did was switch to the, I wish you had gone to the hair appointment, because you've got to get that hair straightened out and fixed. That's all I, you know what I mean?
Come on.
So you can't, for you to say, I did all this, I gave up this. And what do you mean you made this appointment months ago?
It's true.
Are you meeting with the Dalai Lama? Who's cutting your hair?
Basically.
This has been an ongoing saga. She's been trying to get in with this person
well,
forever.
Well, I didn't know.
Right?
So I got in with another person who I actually really liked. I got my hair cut from her, by her. And then she made an appointment for me 4 months from that date.
Wait, 4 months?
And I could only get it 4 months later because she was doing it. Otherwise, I would have to wait a
and
lot
And you already
longer.
Changed it once for this day, right?
Can I?
No, I didn't. I just talked to her about
can
finishing
I make a suggestion?
It earlier.
Guys, can I make a suggestion? Yeah. Sona, as you know, I went to Armenia with you. It's kind of a famous episode. And I am...
Where is this going?
Listen, I am... I am a bit of an icon in the Armenian community. I'm
oh
not
God.
Bragging. I'm just saying... I am an icon, and that's not bragging. Wait a minute, I'm looking that up, what I just said. Oh, yes, that's a total insane,
no,
delusional
brag.
It's
Mariah kind of true,
but anyway,
too, because
I have
love
some,
you.
I have some street cred with the Armenian community, okay? So I say, we call this woman, we talk to her on mic, and I say we need to make an appointment. What?
Why do you think she's Armenian?
Oh, my God.
You think I just go to all Armenian people for things?
Yes.
Sona?
I mean, I
Sona, do. Sona, is she Armenian?
Yes!
Yes!
She's not.
Yes!
She's not. I said that as a joke.
Okay. Oh,
she's not.
Not.
She's not.
Don't
she's
shout
not Armenian.
Again, you're, and this has nothing to do.
I'm sweating
can
and I'm wearing
we,
a scarf.
Can we do a two-parter and we'll call her on the next segment?
Yeah, okay. Which community is she from? Because maybe I have street cred in that community.
No, you she's half black. You're definitely not.
Are you kidding?
You think so?
I am loved in the black community.
I don't know.
I just said that. It's not true, but
yeah.
I go around saying that at the top of my lungs all the time.
Yeah.
When I walk... When I walk down the street, sometimes I just shout, I am loved in the black community. It's a form of Tourette's I have.
Which is exactly why you're probably
Oh, we should
not.
Get EB on mic and find out
yes.
if I'm loved in the black
I mean,
community.
We really should. She won't do it. It will
oh, yeah,
have to
she
black
doesn't...
out her camera, but she'll do it. Maybe
we don't
she'll
say black out her camera.
Oh, God.
That's racist. But listen,
we'll
that's, it's not your
top.
Fault. It's the way you were brought up.
Well, you thought that she was Armenian just because I'm Armenian. And you think
every,
I go to all Armenian things?
Do you go to mostly Armenian people to deal with things in your life?
That's
do you or
like,
do you not?
Where do you get yes. your Chinese food?
From Armand Dalabazian. Makes the best wonton in town.
He does make good wonton.
I think we need to get this person on the phone. We'll do another segment. But
yeah.
we do have to cover the greater issue of the fact that the schedule changes so much around here that you don't even see how much we're juggling things to try to make this
okay,
work.
Well, yeah. see, this is the problem. I am never going to change anything again. Do you guys prefer, and I'm, this is, you know, this is me.
This is
I'm
good. We're talking about this.
We're talking about yeah. this stuff directly. If we're scheduled to go at 1, would you prefer noon if noon's possible? Or would you rather it just...
I figured you would.
I like 11 even, because then there's less traffic going home. What about you, Sana?
You look, I'm going to be completely honest. This is the one day I actually had something that conflicted.
Oh my God. So that's right. I forgot you have nothing to do. You haven't even, you can't even get your hands on your children because you have 30 family members. When was the last time you physically saw your children? Was it April? I think April was the last time you saw them.
No, what I'm saying is I am very flexible.
But what do you prefer? We've talked about this.
I know. I actually prefer earlier too. I think we did it earlier and then we changed it later so there was time to eat. But you also, you don't eat.
I don't eat a lot. No, I'm trying to stay, lean for the camera.
But then you're going into a 1 o'clock session with no lunch and you got no steam. If we went at 11, you're still riding high on breakfast,
yeah,
buddy.
But listen to me, with no food.
That's what I mean.
At one. Oh. And look how good that is. Oh, I mean,
you're afraid it's going to be too good?
I'm afraid there's a level of good that people can handle. And do you know what I mean?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, what did you write?
He just wrote rap because okay, I just said.
You were talking about how good you are. Rap.
Me,
that's the rap
me
song.
With rap. Low blood sugar, Dark Side of the Moon, you know, and then you want to make that album 10 times better. I don't think people can handle it, man. I don't think people can handle it.
It'd be too
All
bad.
Right. I think we learned nothing in this segment other than there is a major communications problem because I did read you the actual texts. I was trying to be considerate, and then it turns into the monster demands we all scramble in there at noon.
And you are.
Which was not the message.
You are really nice, and also our schedule is not
What
super
was that? I'm really what?
I'm not going to say it
I'll
again.
Edit it out. Don't
okay,
worry about
good.
It.
Thank you.
What I'm going to say is it
is a very flexible schedule. There's very little justification I have to not be available.
Yeah, and you got to, let's get the hair.
Oh, come on. I am actually being nice.
I know. I'm being nice, too, as a friend.
I mean,
you can't walk around. That thing's going in a million different directions at once.
Do you want to say anything about the fact that I was so scared about the bits that would come, knowing that if
they came anyway.
I know, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, not safe.
Now you've been hit with bits. You've been bit hit and you're out $300. All right. Yeah. To be continued.
Yeah. Gorley will make up the $300. That's on him.
No.
All right. Peace out.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, with Conan O'Brien, Sonam Afsessian, and Matt Gourley. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs, Nick Liao, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson and Cody Fisher at Earwolf. Theme song by The White Stripes. Incidental music by Jimmy Vivino. Take it away, Jimmy. Our supervising producer is Aaron Blair, and our associate talent producer is Jennifer Samples. Engineering and mixing by Eduardo Perez and Brendan Burns. Additional production support by Mars Melnick. Talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Britt Kahn. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review read on a future episode. Got a question for Conan? Call the Team Coco hotline at 669-587-2847 and leave a message. It too could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.